Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and today I have with me my very close friend, Nicole, and we're going to be talking about discouragement and weariness, which a lot of us, if not all of us, are feeling right now. Nicole and I were talking on the phone yesterday, and I was talking about how I have not put out, I realized when I looked at my Podbean app, I had not done a podcast since December 3rd when we did the King's Decree. And earlier in December, right after we did that podcast, I was fighting an infection for like, I think a couple of weeks or more. And then some other stuff. And now I'm actually bedbound with a badly sprained knee. And I was just feeling really discouraged. And I shared that with Nicole. I had not told her everything that was going on. And she shared that she had also had one thing after another hit. So we were talking about how we just feel like we can't catch our breath before the next thing hits.
Yeah. Just for people to know a little bit of my personality, people are different and they handle things in different ways, but I consider myself a Scarlett O'Hara, and I don't think about things until I have to, I guess. And so what tends to happen to me is I'm dealing with something and I just push through it, and then something else hits and I just push through it, and then something else hits and I just push through it, and then all of a sudden I'm at a tipping point and I can't deal with it anymore, and everything kind of comes out. And so we were discussing that, and then we realized we were both dealing with the same thing. That was not a coincidence. And it was most likely due to the last podcast we did, and it was attacks. I've been dealing with just a bunch of random things. I got my which I couldn't even explain. I was holding a blender, and while it was running, it came unscrewed while it was running from the bottom and slipped my finger all the way up to where I had to get stitches. And I haven't been able to even play in church. And so that was really frustrating. That's just one of the many things. And then Monday, someone tried to steal our dog from the yard. And my husband is very, very close to our dogs. And so when I realized one came running to the front, we realized they were out. We went to the back and saw somebody had tried kicking the gate in, used a dead squirrel and paper with blood to try to bait them out. And we didn't know what happened to them. And so when I went to put flyers out for the dog and I was telling people what happened, I started crying. And that's when I realized I have been dealing with way too much, and I need to take a pause and figure out what's going on. And so that's how this discussion came up and what we realized was going on.
Yeah, the December 3rd podcast we did had to do with praying for President Trump, and we think that this is a retaliatory attack, possibly for that, because every time we've done anything that had to do with supporting the president, we've come under attack, I think, haven't we? High Place Warriors, yes. Definitely. Everybody that joined High Place Warriors, when God told me to build an army of prayer warriors to pray for President Trump like a year ago or something, everybody came under attack. And I mean heavy attacks. There were people
and again,
there.
And again, it's not about President Trump. So let me make this clear. We're not talking about President Trump because we love him, okay? We are talking about fighting good and evil. And Trump just happens to be the source God is using to fight evil. So please don't send Glenda emails about why are you still talking about Trump, okay? Don't. She has enough to deal with. We are fighting good and evil. We are fighting sin. And so that is why we are getting attacked, bottom line. And so Glenda and I were discussing, and when we realized, again, because of my personality, I'll just take so much, and then I can't anymore. Then I realized, oh, yeah, that's not normal. And then she realized that she was getting attacked but wouldn't share it with me because of the time of year, everybody's so busy. that we decided to go ahead and cancel these attacks. So we agreed together on the phone out loud, and we canceled retaliation attacks from the other podcast and any kind of attacks. And then we got off the phone, and I immediately felt better. I felt like I was more in control, and all the weird emotional stuff stopped. And so I went about trying to get other stuff done, because not only was the stuff going on with my dog, but my car, when it rains, is leaking. And I have paid lots of money to get it fixed, and they can't figure out why it's doing this, and I can't find a solution. So I'm very annoyed with that, too. So yeah, yesterday I was working on that, and just trying. And the neighbor came to us and said, "We found your dogs. They have your dogs. I told them those are yours, and we're going to keep them safe." And so my husband and I guess about 5 o'clock last night, went over there and found our dogs. So the attempt of theft, I'm not sure what happened, because the gate they kicked in goes into another neighbor's yard. That was, their gate was closed. So it was obvious it was either they tried stealing them or they just changed their mind because they were fixed. I don't know, but they were taken in by a neighbor who was taking care of them, and they were completely fine, and we got them back. So immediately after that is like my faith was built up again that, okay, this was taken care of. We canceled this, is done. Everything else is going to work out. I don't know how, and that doesn't matter, but I'm okay, and I'm going to keep going forward.
Yeah. And hours after we canceled those attacks, my knee just started improving. Without any steroids, it started getting a little better, just real slowly, and it's that much better today. So the improvement's staying, and I'm working on that. And I was so discouraged when I did the teledoc appointment, and she goes, "Yeah, just take Tylenol." And I'm like, I just paid money for this. You know, you go to the doctor to get something you can't get over the counter. So I felt disappointed in that, and we're not supposed to be disappointed. But so what we want to talk today about is discouragement and the weariness that we're all going through in different areas. I think there's not very many people that are not feeling this. I think it's the majority of Christians are feeling it. And the word discourage means to cause somebody to lose confidence or enthusiasm. Discourage is made up of the word courage and the prefix D-I-S. D-I-S means none. So discourage means no courage. You have no courage. Okay. When something or someone discourages you, they literally take away or destroy your courage. And Nicole was talking this morning about how discouragement is contagious. And I agree, but one good thing is encouragement is also, which is the opposite, would also be contagious. So we can either encourage or discourage people, right? And we are going to have to learn to turn down discouragement when it comes at you. And it sneaks in, y'all. I'm telling you, it sneaks in. It'll be one little thing will go wrong. Something will happen. I think I had probably one of, if not the worst Christmas I've ever had in my entire life, Christmas Day. And I don't do a bunch of Christmas celebration, but I still like it because it's a fun holiday, and I'm a giver, and I like to give. It was just, I was on the verge of tears the entire day. I just wanted to sit down and cry. And just one thing after another was happening. Somebody sent me a nasty gram by email attacking me because I had been, you know, talking about praying for President Trump. Just really vicious. And I never read past the first sentence on those. I'll read maybe the first sentence at the most, and then I just delete it because I'm not going to read trash like that. I'm doing what I believe God's told me to do. And that's all that matters to me. I don't care what some random person out there on the internet thinks about it. I'm feeding God's sheep. The people who know God, listen to the programs, and benefit from the programs, and you guys are the people that I care about. I care about you, and I care about what God thinks about the programs and if we're doing them correctly. And that's what he's told me to do.
And I heard someone yesterday say that, you know, if you don't agree with something that's being said on the program, that's an easy fix. Just turn it off.
Just turn it off. Go listen to something else. Yeah,
don't spread discouragement to other people that are trying to do. If you don't agree with it, you know, you're not going to agree with everything someone teaches. And when I'm listening to somebody, I'll take what I need and I throw out what I don't, if, you know, unless it's something real blatant that I don't listen to them. But just saying, we don't have to agree on everything except Jesus. And we should be encouraging each other and building each other up, not tearing each other down over silly little things that don't matter.
Yep. And when you attack somebody like that with your words, you are gnashing someone with your teeth and you are planting a seed that's going to come back on you. I'm not going to read those tacky emails and I'm not going to take them to heart. I was already having a bad day and that just added one more, you know, straw in the camel's back. So,
but I don't, as Christians, we don't want to be used as an instrument of Satan.
No.
And that's what you're doing when you do that. Yeah. So if you don't agree with something, just don't worry about it.
Just move on. Yeah, just move on. I get 100 encouraging emails for every one discouraging one I get. So I'm not worried about it. But y'all know the Bible stories that we've talked about. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And the time when he did that was when Ziklag had just been burned. He came back from battle or something, and Ziklag had been burned, and both of his wives and everybody else's wives had been taken. So that would be pretty discouraging. You know, you go home, your house is burned down, you have nothing, and the people you love were taken, kidnapped. That would be discouraging. And so he encouraged himself. He just reminded himself of the times that he had had victory in the Lord. And that encouraged him. He got his courage up, and him and his army went, and they got the women back. They took everything back. And, you know, we believe that what's going on may have to do with the wearing down of the saints talked about in Daniel 7:25. So let's talk about some of the ways that discouragement can come. One, bad things are happening to you. That's the way it got at me. And also the way it got at Nicole. The future looks bleak. I have remarked to more than one person that, you know, with the end times rolling out, we're, you know, 10 years ago, we were just talking about the end times. 20 years ago, they seemed like they were a world away. And now we're seeing them play out and just thinking, okay, this, you know, is happening faster than we expected. And we know some of the stuff that's coming in the end times. It's pretty difficult not to be affected by that at all. I mean, if you just shut it out, yeah, maybe, but I, because of the kind of work I do, I can't shut it out because it's what I'm thinking about all the time. It's what I'm praying about all the time, asking God for revelation to share with you all. Another way is your faith is failing. Your faith is just kind of giving up and going, yeah, I don't believe anymore. And another way that discouragement can come is your problems feel overwhelming.
You know, I was just thinking about what you said about the wearing down, and I remembered something I saw in a movie where some person was tied up and water was dripping one drip at a time on the person's face. And that alone wouldn't hurt you. But if you're standing there and having that over and over and over and over, it just drives you crazy. And that's what he's trying to do to us, to make us not effective in fighting because we're so busy dealing with all the other things we're not doing what it is we're supposed to be doing.
And
so
even
it's
if
the little things that he gets us with, not the big things so much, but the little wearing away daily.
I just saw something. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you know, some days it's like, okay, a document won't print and then something else happens and then your phone calls interrupt what you're doing and then something else. And after that goes on for hours and hours, it wears you out. And if that happens day after day after day, and then you have some bigger things interspersed in there, you never get all the way back up on your feet before the next thing comes.
And it's a lot harder to fight when you're not up on your feet. So, I mean, it's very strategic what he's doing. You know, when I'm struggling with something, I often look for how the enemy can prosper by what is taking place. And the very fact that attacks of discouragement are widespread and are being so effective means he wants to stop us from something, like I said earlier. Yeah. This fact alone should encourage us to press forward. Remember, the race to the finish line is not a marathon. I mean, the race is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And sometimes in an endurance race, we walk, but the bottom line is we still move forward. We're not standing there or sitting there or cowering. We have to move forward in order to finish the race. And I see a lot of people now, we were talking about this earlier, it's like they almost think, okay, I'm saved, I'm good, bless my four, no more thing, and don't do anything, and just wait it out. And it's not supposed to be like that. We have to do something. And I said that in the last podcast, we have to occupy until he comes, which doesn't mean sit down and hide our head and try to, you know, wait for the bombs to pass and hope we don't get hit. It's you're going to get hit because you're actively fighting. And that is the way it's supposed to be.
I had a lot of days in December. I just wanted to climb in bed and pull the covers over my head, not look. Because it was one thing after another. And I have a lot of faith. So for me to get beat down to that point, it takes a bunch of stuff happening.
And, you know, I know that usually it'll hit us before, or teachers before other people, so that we can help other people get through it. And sometimes it'll hit us harder so that we realize what's going on to help other people. So we know that we cannot be the only people dealing with this.
Yeah.
And if there was no purpose to us fighting, then the enemy wouldn't be trying to stop us from doing so.
Amen.
We don't know how long each of us has on this earth, but we decide how much darkness we endure by how much we resist it in prayer.
Well said.
If he gave us the authority to fight the evil, then we are supposed to fight the evil and restrain it while we have the opportunity to do so. We work while we have the opportunity to work, because there will come a time when we won't.
Yeah.
So I think we decide how much evil comes now. I think that's our purpose. I think we are to restrain the evil. That's what he told us to do. That's why he gave us the keys of the kingdom. Otherwise, what would he have given them to us for?
Good point.
We may be at fault for the amount of evil that is in the world because we weren't fighting it. We just kind of thought he was going to do it. Or at least a lot of churches teach that. But he's raising up a lot of people to see what's going on and to fight, which that alone should encourage us as well, because he has a purpose for doing that, or he wouldn't be raising us up. So think about those things when you get discouraged. Think about that you're not alone, that what you're dealing with is for a reason, and to encourage you, to build you up, to help you fight other things that are coming. Because as a baby, you learn to walk and then run and then do other things. So everything in the Christian life, the trials and stuff, those are to teach us how to walk and then run and then do other things. It's the exact same thing. The things that we do in our life directly affect our spiritual life, because we're a body, soul, and spirit. They aren't to be separated. So looking at these little things that are aggravating and hard for us to walk through will help us build up to do the bigger things that most likely are coming later.
I think you're right.
You know, we need to encourage ourselves also that, because if we're getting this hard, that means you're a threat. If you weren't a threat and you weren't getting attacked, then he's got you.
Yeah.
So when you're going through that, use that to help you, because, okay, I'm going through this. That means I need to do something. That means he's scared, and use that to draw strength from.
Yeah.
And remember, it is okay to get it's not okay to get discouraged. I don't know that. It's normal to get discouraged, and it's normal to have fear at times. But he's made perfect when we have those things. So when we give it to him and learn to fight it, he comes and becomes our strength, and then it gets defeated.
And he gets the glory.
Yes, which he deserves.
Yep. And anytime when we get into fear, it kind of throws our faith down on the floor.
One of the things that he taught me early when he was teaching me spiritual warfare was that our weapons cancel out theirs, and theirs cancel out ours. So fear is something that he is using very strongly right now through all the media and through the epidemic and everything else that's going on. It's extremely fear-based. And when you're scared and you're in fear, you can't hear anything else. Your spirit doesn't function right. Your faith doesn't work because it cancels it out. And just like Peter, whenever he had faith and he stood out on the water and walked on the water because he's looking at Jesus, but he had faith. But when he looked at the storm around him, he sank. Well, he had faith, so why did he sink? It's because the two can't operate together. It does cancel it out. So one of the first things we have to do is to fight the fear coming in. That's your very, very first thing to do, is to stop fear, which means you can't have thoughts of fear, or if you do have them, you have to cancel them immediately and refocus on something that's not fearful. However it is, you have to do that. Because not only is discouragement contagious, fear is too. And if you watch certain things that are bringing that in, you have to turn that off, because it will shut everything else down. Which I think we talked a little bit about when last time, where we can't listen to the negative news and all that, because it's so negative. And it just immediately brings your spirit down. So you have to watch what you're listening to, who you're listening to. And use that as a base. If you feel fear when you're listening to something, then you shouldn't be listening to it.
Oh, amen.
The bottom of the third page.
They're not numbered, Jim.
Okay, at the bottom of the page says Glenda. So what are some of the effects?
There it is. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we're being fought like crazy. This is insane.
Right,
I can just feel it. Yeah.
I can feel it too. Okay, so what are some of the effects of being discouraged? If you become discouraged, what does that do? We stop fighting because we lose our faith. Like Nicole said, fear displaces your faith, kicks it out of the room. Number two, we lose hope about the future. And that makes our existence pretty bleak, y'all. Another effect, if we lose hope about the future, is human nature, when we're hopeless or we feel down, is to throw caution to the wind. And when we do that, we're going to become tempted by old sins. And when I got discouraged with this injury and everything else that had beat me half to death the beginning of December, from the time we did that podcast on, I noticed that temptations to old sins tried to come in. And of course, I cast those down. But that is something that will happen when you become discouraged. And I'm sure some of you are also going through that. Anytime we are suffering or we're discouraged or we're weary, we will be drawn to the comfort of old coping skills or drawn to old familiar comforts, even if they're, 20, 30 years, 40 years in the past. They're still what your mind remembers. We will have no motivation to minister because either we feel like it doesn't matter anymore, or we're so burned out and we're empty inside. We have nothing to give out. If we haven't been feeding our spirit enough, or we've been concentrating more on the discouragement, or depression has set in or whatever, you won't find as much encouragement coming out of you, because you're just kind of beat down and weary. We may stop believing. And when our faith leaves, fear comes in its place. And this is a very dangerous place to be, because that is what happens when that happens, you're in danger of falling away and becoming part of the great falling away that happens before Jesus returns. And those people won't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Recently, the Lord spoke something to me that was very profound. I was praying for something to talk about on a podcast because I hadn't done a podcast, and asking him for something that will help us in the end times. And he said this one sentence, and then he didn't say anything. He said, "Fear is a choice." And immediately I thought, yeah, it is. Because the Bible says, "Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not." He would not tell us not to fear unless we had some choice in the matter. He says fear not because he knows that choice is going to come up before us. Okay, do I get into fear over this, or do I stand in faith on the word and believe God? Fear is a choice. How many people that we read about in the Bible had to make this choice and chose courage, and that's why we read about them? David certainly did when he faced Goliath. He had to make the choice whether he was going to take the chance on being just obliterated from the earth by this giant in front of all of his people, because everybody had come out to see on both sides. Abraham, when the Lord said, "Hey, pack up and get going, I'll tell you which trail to take on the way," he had to decide, am I going to be afraid, or am I going to just do this and believe God? Gideon, who knew his family was not important and that there was nothing extraordinary about him, and he faced an army vastly larger than his own, and won thanks to God's help. all the disciples who were mocked and hunted and arrested and beaten again and again and again, they knew at some point that they would most likely give their lives for the Word of God, but then the Word of God had given His for them and us first. It's human nature that we feel apprehension in uncertain times like this, and there's never been a time that probably carried more uncertainty than now. It's human nature even to feel fear, but we want to carry His nature, not human nature. And let's remember that the fearful have their part in the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Thayer's Greek lexicon says this verse, the fear, means it's talking about Christians who through cowardice give way under persecution and apostatize, which is falling away. Matthew 8:26 comes up in my spirit to that. And He said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. That word fearful is the same word. We're fixing to talk about that word. It's also in Mark 4:40. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Both of those translate the Greek word dilos as fearful, and it means having very little faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him, isn't it? Okay. And without what is it impossible to please Him? That's right, faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, that means that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So just so y'all know how bad this is, we're sitting...
Okay, that makes no sense.
What just happened?
Came on
by itself.
My sound came on without the TV. Yes,
your sound came on. Oh my gosh, are you serious?
And okay, then y'all, electricity started blinking again, so it's crazy.
So it's probably gonna go back off. Okay, y'all, just to let you know how bad this is, Nicole's electricity went off, and I was doing the podcast. I was reading the part that was mine. And went on for, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes, and she wasn't there, and I didn't even realize she was gone. And so now her electricity comes back on, and the sound on her TV comes on all by itself without the TV. This is good. Okay.
Okay.
Weird warfare. More weird warfare.
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier, this time that we're going through of trials and testing will help exercise our spirit because yeah. Again, our body is a soul, spirit, and body. They are all one. They can't be separated unless you die. So thinking of it on realistic terms helps you. Years ago, whenever I remember talking about this on the podcast, I had been training my spirit man. I think I did this on podcast. I'm not sure, but I know I taught about this. But I had been praying in the spirit on a daily basis for months at night. And so what I did was I trained my spirit man to pray that way. And one night I was attacked while I was sleeping in my dream. And as I woke up from the dream, I felt something sitting on me. And as I woke up, I heard myself in my mind screaming in tongues.
Wow.
But I wasn't doing it physically myself, but I heard it because my spirit was doing it for me. Because I had trained it to do that, it did it for me. And so... if you think about a weight trainer, they slowly pick up weights. They slowly build themselves up, lifting and lifting so that they can hold more weight. These tests and trials that we're going through, as hard as they are, if you get through them, you're training your spirit to be able to deal with the bigger stuff that's going to come.
Much like the wilderness, like the wilderness does.
Yes. Everything in our life is training.
Yeah.
For the future. This is like a dress rehearsal for later.
Yep.
And so my aunt often said, quotes that scripture, if you can't keep up with the footman, how can you keep up with the horseman? We have to learn to endure what we're enduring now so that we can handle what's coming. I mean, then the Bible says to count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. So you want to look around and look at the positive and the things that you're dealing with so that you can overcome them with His help.
I agree.
You know, I deal with discouragement a lot in my life and the things that I'm waiting for and believing for. And remember that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I know what God promised me, and I live one day at a time, for that's all I can handle. And I strongly believe the story about the sparrows, not worrying about tomorrow, is the best way to live our life and to be effective in spiritual warfare and walking this Christian walk. God talks about that story and says the sparrows don't worry about tomorrow. They don't worry about what they're going to eat or how they're going to work. They just do day by day.
Yeah.
And at this point, I think that's the best way that we can live our Christian life, is to go day by day. I will handle what I have to handle today, and I'll let tomorrow worry about itself, because we can't change the past. We can't change the future. We only have control over what's here now. Amen. And if you live like that, you'll have less stress, less worry, which is going to make it easier to fight off discouragement and fear, because every day is trusting Him one day at a time.
Amen. That's so true.
So the best way to fight fear and discouragement is, again, when a thought comes in, to kick it out immediately. Do not dwell on a thought. I've heard a minister say that you have 30 seconds before a thought drops into your spirit to kick it out, before it starts taking root and does its work that it's meant to do, which is, again, in agreement with whatever it is that told you that. So fight discouragement, fight the thoughts. Don't sit there and dwell on what it is that's discouraging you. Use scripture, find you a scripture that works on your situation. Even if it's those who trust in the Lord shall not be disappointed. We are trusting in Him, so we won't be disappointed. So repeat those things when you are fighting off the thoughts, the fears, the discouragement through the trials. And that is the best way to get yourself through what it is that we're going to go through.
I agree. And another thing you can do, and something that I do, is ask the Lord to send you encouragement. If you're really down, just say, Lord, I need you to send me some encouragement so I can get back up on my feet. And also ask Him to help you see the root cause of what you're feeling. Is it that you're dwelling on the thoughts? Is it that you've taken too many hard hits lately? You know, what is it that's causing it? And He will reveal that to you.
And, you know, the Bible said not to forsake the assemblies of ourselves. So we,
yes,
when we spoke together, we realized what was going on. We encouraged each other. And we have to do that for one another. You can find a friend that you're close with. Discuss what you're going through. Most likely they are too, in some way, shape,
yep,
or form. And then you can help and pray for them, and they can help and pray for you. And it helps. It works quicker that way, because I have faith to believe for other people easier than I do for my own situation when I'm going through it.
Yeah.
That's why we're not supposed to forsake the assembling.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Well, that's all that we have for y'all today. I hope this has been a help to you. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Does your life feel like it's falling apart around you? Are multiple things going wrong all at once? Does it seem all your comforts have been stripped away? You may have entered the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are often times of great discomfort and lack. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. Find out how to go from surviving to thriving by partnering with God as He leads you in the path that will strengthen your faith and prepare you to step into your destiny. The Wilderness Companion will help you find out why you have been led into the wilderness. Find out the biggest hindrances to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Learn how to partner with God in His purposes for you in the desert seasons. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion today. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, or audiobook.
If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?
Are there areas of sin in your life you just can't seem to overcome, no matter how hard you try? Many people live their whole lives under curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Learn how to defeat every curse through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. If you have the knowledge, you can break curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. In the book Loosed from Chains of Darkness, you will learn the basics of four different types of curses. Loosed from Chains of Darkness is the most comprehensive curse-breaking book on the market today. Get your copy of Loosed from Chains of Darkness by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, and audiobook versions.